Okay, today's daf is Nida Mem Zayin. We were in the middle of the discussion about a mufla samach le'ish, about a boy or a girl who's a year before bar bat mitzvah, and in terms of their nidarim, and the question is, are they, their nidarim are valid? The question is that a law on a doraita level or on a dorabanan level? Right? Do we learn it straight from the pasuk, or is the pasuk just an asmachta ba'alma? So now we said Abaye tried to prove that it's doraita, and in order to do that, he brought this source that said, right, this is about 12 lines from the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Bet, Ad shelo ba lo onat nidarim, right? Rabbi Yossi says if he didn't come to onat nidarim, his truma isn't truma, but once he got to onat nidarim, which means the year before, his truma is truma. Now, why does this prove it's doraita? Because they thought that Rabbi Yossi held the truma bizmanas is doraita, and if truma is doraita, and the law of Mufla Samach Ish is Durabbanan, then his truma can't possibly be truma. So we'd have to say it's doraita. Then they said, no, Rabbi Yossi could really say truma is Durabbanan, and if truma bismanaz is Durabbanan, then that doesn't prove anything about this law. Then we said, what about...
Zimane means post-Hurban Abayit.
Yeah, well, right, the Zman of the Gemara, okay? Or even by Cheney time, okay? Because it could be in by Cheney, maybe it was Durabbanan. We're going to get to that soon, about Chala being bismanaz, you know, whether Chala is Doraita or Durabbanan, and once Ezra came, not all the people went back, and therefore maybe it wasn't even Doraita then. So, but for sure in the time of the Gemara, when no one's, you know, most people aren't even living in Israel. So now, he says, so if you say, right, then we said, but Rabbi Yossi himself in Seder Olam, which is Miyuchas, it's attributed to Rabbi Yossi, says that it's Doraita, that the Kedusha, right, there's no Kedusha Shlishit, it was already, everything was sanctified the second time, and it remained, right, this would indicate, according to what you asked, Naomi, that it's really only after the Chorban, and that after the Chorban, it's still the same, there's no need for a third sanctification. So then they say, you could just say, Rabbi Yossi brought that opinion in the book he authored, but, the book he edited, but he didn't actually hold that way. Okay, so we're still left with, it could be Rabbi Yossi really holds Truma's only to Rabbanan, which means Abaye's source doesn't prove anything. And the Gemara is now going to say, Hachinami Mistabra, we can further prove it from the following source, Ditanya, as it says in the Braita. Isa shenidma'a osha nechmetza b'se'or shel truma. Okay, we need to learn a few concepts. Dimua is when you have a mixture with an ayin. You have a mixture of Truma that falls into Chulin. Now, according to Torah law, Batel Merov, everything's canceled out in Rov, so if the majority, which it is Chulin, then the Truma's canceled out on a Doraita level. But Derabbanan, the rabbi said, Truma's not canceled out unless there's 100 times the amount of Chulin to the Truma. Or, the second case is, Shenich Mitzah V'Seor Shel Truma, you used a leavening agent that was Truma to take this dough that was all Chulin, right, the leavening agent is much smaller, however, it has significance because it leavens. So again, midah oraita, it's not really truma, but midah rabbanan, we're going to treat it as truma. So now the question is, what's the relative? So the braita says, okay, one other halacha you have to know before we continue, which is if you have truma and you're making a dough of bread, you don't need to take challah from it. You only need to take challah if it's chulin, but if it's truma, you don't. So according to the first opinion, chayevet bechallah, we don't view this as truma, and therefore she has to take challah. Or the dough needs challah to be taken. Ve'ena nifselet b'tful yom. And if a tful yom touches it, he doesn't disqualify it, even though it's truma. And normally a tful yom, someone who went to the mikvah in the morning but didn't yet wait for nightfall, it disqualifies truma by touching it, right? It's impure. But since this isn't really called truma, it's not nifselet b'tful yom. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon potrim min achalah. They say, no, you're actually patur from challah. We view this as truma. So now, what does this show? Well, savruha, again, what do we want to prove? We want to prove that Rabbi Yossi thinks truma is only derabbanan. So savruha, now whenever you see savruha, it means they thought. Eventually, they're going to be corrected, or at least we're going to suggest it's not the only way to read it. But when they tried to bring this as proof, the Rabbi Yossi holds the truma of Bizman Azeh is only derabbanan, they said, oh, this works perfectly. Why? Savrua manda amar truma de oraita chala de oraita. If you say truma is de oraita, okay, they assumed that if you hold one is de oraita, then you'll hold the others de oraita. And if you hold one is de rabbanan, then you'll hold, meaning truma and chala are the same, right? It makes sense to think that they'd be the same, right? These are all halachot liot ba'aretz and Shaloi in Kedusha, and if they're right, they assumed whatever Truma is, that's what Chal is. So now, how does this work? Manda Amar Truma de Rabbanan, Chala de Rabbanan, right? So now, sorry, we're still in, if you say Truma is Doraita, then Chala is going to be Doraita. If you say Truma is de Rabbanan, Chala is going to be de Rabbanan. Now, since they're starting off with that's their assumption, we know that later we're going to say that's not the case, okay? But right now, we're going to assume they go hand in hand. So now, how does this work? Well, remember, the Truma is really from a Doraita level. This Truma is not Truma. Right? This, even if you say Truma is Doraita, right? In this case, we don't have a case of classic Truma. We have a case of a mixture. Now, the mixture on a Doraita level, the Truma is canceled to the bigger mixture. So in a Doraita level, there's no Truma in here no matter what. Even if you say Truma Mizmanazah is Doraita, this Truma, this mixture, is only Derabbanan. Okay, that's the important part to get. So, Iyamar Bishlava, Kasava Rabbi Yossi Chalav Mizmanazah Derabbanan. So now it makes sense, because this Truma mixture on a Doraita level is Truma, but on a Derabbanan level, it's not Truma. So now, if you say Bizman Chalav Mizmanazah is Derabbanan, then we can say, well, then it makes sense, because Ati Dimua de Rabbanan, Umav Kachala de Rabbanan. This Truma, at best, this mixture, can only be called Truma on a Derabbanan level. So that makes sense if you're going to say, what did Rabbi Yossi say? It's Patur from Chala. Why is it Patur from Chala? Because it's Truma. Well, it's only Truma de Rabbanan. So Truma de Rabbanan, you can't say if it's Truma de Rabbanan and Chala's de Oraita that you're Patur from Chala from this Truma de Rabbanan. Makes no sense. On a Doraita level, this isn't Truma, which means it should be Chayiv and Chala. So the only way to understand Rabbi Yossi is to say, Chala is Derabbanan, and then comes the Derabbanan Truma and uproots the Chala Derabbanan. But if you say Chala Doraita, if you say Chala is a Chayiv mi Doraita nowadays, Ati Dimua Derabbanan Umavka Chala Doraita, you can't possibly have this Derabbanan Truma that's going to uproot the Chala mi Doraita. Which means that it seems obvious that, okay, what's obvious? Chala is Derabbanan. And if Chala is Derabbanan, we're going to assume that Truma is also Derabbanan. Okay? And that I already told you that we're going to obviously split between the two. But right now we're assuming if Chala is Derabbanan, then and the only way to read that is Chala is Derabbanan, and therefore Truma must be Derabbanan. And that proves Rabbi Yossi. But now the Gemara is obviously going to reject this and say no. V'dilma kasava Rabbi Yossi, Truma bizman hazeh de'oraita, v'chala de'rabanan. No, maybe he thinks Truma is de'oraita nowadays and chala is de'rabanan. We're going to have to see why you would think to make a difference. And they say, not only are we suggesting this, but uchida ahada Rav Huna b'rei de'Rav Yoshua. And it's exactly as Rav Huna b'rei de'Rav Yoshua answered back to the rabbis who didn't think so. How so? What was the discussion between them? De'ama Rav Huna b'rei de'Rav Yoshua, Eshkachtinu leRabbanan de beRav. I was sitting with the rabbis in the house of Rav, de Yatve veKamre, and they were saying the following: Afilu leManda Amar Truma bizman hazeh deRabbanan Chala deOraita. Okay, the rabbis said exactly the opposite. Okay, they didn't say it's equal, but they didn't say it goes in the direction we were trying to say. They said that even if you say Truma is deRabbanan, Chala is daf going to be deOraita today. Why? Shaharei sheva shekavshu v'sheva shechalku nitchayvu b'chala v'lo nitchayvu b'maaser. Notice there's a chumra about Chala that doesn't exist by Truma, and because of that, we can say Chala is deOraita nowadays and not Truma. And it's not just that there was a chumra, but notice, before we sanctified the land, there were 14 years where the first seven we were capturing, the second seven we were splitting up the right, I'm trying to think of the word, the you know, who gets what land. And therefore, Chala, and the fact is, they were taking Chala then, but they weren't taking Truma and Masrot. So what do you see? Chala existed even before, you know, before everyone was living in the land. And therefore, Chala nowadays will still be Doraita. But Truma wasn't then. That means also Betruma. So that's how you see the Chala is Doraita, even though Truma is Derabbanan. But remember, we're in the middle of a quote here of what Rav Huna b'rei de'Rav Yoshua said. When I heard them say the following, Amina lehu ana, but I said to them, Afilu lamanda, it's the opposite. Afilu lamanda amar truma bizman hazeh de'oraita chala de'rabbanan. It's exactly the opposite, and that's exactly what we're trying to say about Rabbi Yossi. Why? D'tanya. I b'vo'achem, it says b'vo'achem ala aretz, in the pasuk about chala. Yachomishinach nesula shnayim u'shlosha meraglim. B'vo'achem sounds like maybe when the meraglim went. Two or three meraglim go into the land, that's already enough to say you're already in the land. Chiyuv Chala kicks in. Talmud Lomar Bivoachem. The pasuk says Bivoachem specifically to teach you Biviat Kochem Amarti Velo Biviam Mitzatchem. You need everyone to come back and to come into the land. V'chiyasiknu Ezra Lo Kulu Salak. And when Ezra went up to make Aliyah, not everybody came with him, right? That's what we all know. And therefore, Chala did not become De'oraita. But that has nothing, no bearing on Truma. That's a unique thing by Chala. In which case, now how does it work? If Chala is De'Rabbanan and Truma is De'oraita, then it works very well. Also, in other words, again, we were trying to prove that Truma is De'Rabbanan. We can't prove that because we could read this whole Braita, again, our original Braita about the Isash and Nidma'al Shenichmetza, because even though Truma is De'oraita, this mixture of Truma is De'Rabbanan. And then comes the De'Rabbanan and overrides the Chala, which is only De'Rabbanan. Okay, so we've now explained that source, that it doesn't necessarily prove anything about Muflas Samach Le'ish. And with that, we're moving on to the next Mishnah. Here we get to the tricky part of today's daf, where the rabbis are going to describe Simanei Bagrut of a woman. Until now, we always thought Simanei Bagrut of a woman are Shtei Sa'arot and age. All of a sudden, we get to a Mishnah where they're going to raise issues of the size of the woman's breast. And which you might say, shocking, right? Well, first of all, we're going to get into details of the rabbis describing sizes of women's breasts, which is very odd to think that they were discussing these things and to think about people learning these things. But in a sense, it makes a perfect sense because sa'arot, there's something hidden nobody looks at. Size of women's breasts, theoretically, is much more noticeable. They did talk about checking here and there, although yesterday there was this whole thing, if they checked, if they didn't check. What?
Which is a violation of tzniut.
Right. There's clear violation of tzniut. We're going to see a case even in the Gemara today, a description of a violation of a woman's tzniut, checking, and we'll talk about it. This whole sugya is very tough to understand them actually really having a discussion about all this. But again, I look at it in the context of it's a visible sign, rather than sa'arot, which is not visible. So in a sense, right, it's much more embarrassing to go look at a woman's private parts to see if she has two hairs rather than to be noticing from the outside, you know, signs of growth. And it's something that people do notice. So in a sense, I could sort of understand why they're doing this, although it's interesting because until now we've never discussed this, right? This never came up as an issue. It was always simanim and age. Anyway, okay, that's the intro to this section, which without an intro, it's hard to just jump into it. Mashal mashalu chachamim b'isha. They gave a certain mashal, comparing her to fruits. Paga, bochel, v'tzemel. These are the three shlavim. We've learned this many times that there's three shlavim. There's ktana, that's paga. Paga is the unripe fruit. Then there's ne'ara, which is usually 12 years and from the beginning of the year until 6 months into the year, right? And it's once she turns 12, or, you know, when she has simanim and is around age 12 for 6 months. And then we have she's a bogeret. So now they're going to describe. So paga is the first stage. Bochel is where she's close to ripening, right? Because they're talking about the fruit ripening. Vitsema, once it's already fully ripened. Paga odatinoket, right? That's still, she's a ktana. Bochel elu yimeinu ureha. And then before they continue to the third, they tell you, well, what's the relevance of these ages? Bezo u bezo amru. And both these, they said, she's still in her father's reshut, basically. Avia zakai b'mitziyata, if she finds something on the street, a lost item that she can take, it goes straight to her father. Uvema seyadeha, and any work she does, right, he gets the proceeds. Uba parat nedareha, and he can cancel any vows that she makes. Semel, but once she gets to the later stage, kevan shebagara, she's considered a bogeret, shuv ein la'avia reshutba. He has no more rights to, you know, do any of these things. Ezehu simanim, what are the simanim? And here we get into description of breast size. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Mishayale HaKemet Tachar Adad, when there's a fold underneath the breast. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishayitu Hadadim, when they start leaning downward, right? When they're large enough that they start drooping downward. That was the word I was looking for, drooping. Ben Azay Omer Mishayashchir HaPitomet, when the nipple starts to darken. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kedeshi Yehei Notein Yada La Oketz V'hu Shokeh V'shohel Lachzor. If you put your finger on the tip of the nipple, it will depress and then come back to its original place where it was. Okay, interesting descriptions. We'll get to more in the Gemara. Don't worry, we're not done with this yet. Okay, the Gemara starts off. Paga Odati Noka. Now they're going to show Psukim or Mishnayot, where we see these words used in the context of what it means. So pogaz odati nogi kidechtiva teina chanta pageha. Okay, the teina, the fig tree brought forth its unripe fruit. Odati noget, therefore odati noget. Kedichtiv, how do we know that it's... No, sorry, I just went back to the previous line by accident. Bochel, elu yimei haneurim. Okay, the next stage is her youth, the 6 months. Kedichnan, hateini mishayav chilu. This is when you chayav masrot. It's a Mishnah Maaser. When you chayav masrot mi derabanan, when they already get close to ripening. He describes it's when they start turning white. Okay, they start. This is the fig, not the woman. Right when the fig starts whitening a little bit, then you know that they're ready. They're getting close to being ready. Some people prove the yavchilu that it means like it's growing from this pasuk mehacha. It's pasuk in Zechariah. But tiksar nafshi bahem v'gam nafsham b'chalabi. They disgusted me. Okay, I got angry with them or I got short with them, and they disgusted me, but bachalabi means like I grew to be more disgusted with them over time. So it has to do with growth and development. Semel, here this is what's called notrikon, where they darshan the letters. Semel yatzta from the tzadi, milea from the mem lamed. Okay, it means she came out milea, ripe. Ve'ezehu simanim. Okay, now we're going to have this thing about Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says mishaya leha kemet. Amar Shmuel, lo mishaya leha kemet mamash. It's not whether you actually see a fold. Ela kedei, I don't know why he describes it in this way, but ela kedei shetachzir yadeh la'achorei, if she puts her hand backwards, her arm backwards, v'nir'et kemi sheya'aleh kemet tachat hadad. And the size of her breast, you know, as you put your arm back, you kind of guess her breast is more noticeable, and then you can tell that if it wasn't back, it would have a fold in it. I guess he's trying to come up with some external way to see it, because it's not like anyone can really see whether she has a fold under there or not unless you actually check. Well, now talking about checking, so Shmuel, who says this, all Shmuel badak ba'amte, he checked the breast of his maidservant. Okay, this is very odd, but Shmuel, you know, if you remember, we keep talking about it, he was a doctor, he was a scientist, he wanted to check and actually see what this looks like. Okay, I don't know. Either he wasn't married, or he didn't want to check on his wife. It was embarrassing, right? So what did he do?
Maybe she was just in a different stage.
Maybe she was right.
Different stage and he wanted to...
Right, tough to know. I don't know exactly why. But anyway, he checked, and maybe he just wanted to protect her privacy. But, you know, an ama k'na'anit, so a little less of a privacy issue, although we'll see. He didn't exactly view her as free reign, because we'll talk about it in a second. So he checked on his maidservant to see exactly what it looked like. And he realized that this was embarrassing for her, so he paid her money. Okay, even though she was a shifcha, he paid her money for the embarrassment of having to check. Shmuel goes according to his own shita. This is the pasuk about avadim knanim. You can always work them. Which means, right, a very nice image. Yes, they're your slaves to work for you, but you don't own them and you can't embarrass them and you can't humiliate them. That's a whole different thing. So it's weird because he kind of did humiliate her, but at least he paid her for the damages. And Shmuel, l'shitato, did something else, is not to embarrass them. Shmuel miyached lahem. He would take servants and kind of match them up with other servants. That, you know, you're the one who sleeps with this woman and you're the one who sleeps with this woman, so that they weren't total hefker. He treated them as, you know, appropriate, and kind of had each one was designated to a particular slave of his so that it wasn't total hefker, which sounds very nice, although we're going to see that Rav Nachman, who doesn't agree with this opinion, lavodah l'nitzatim v'lo lebusha, he feels like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, actually, no, you could do really anything, machlif lahen. He would just, you know, leave it all hefker and everyone would sleep around with everybody. Rav Sheshet, here's a third approach, master lahen la'aravi, he would give them to an aravi, to an Arab, the women, v'amar lahen, izdaharu miYisrael, stay away from the Jews, we don't want you sleeping with Jews, and he would kind of have someone there that they could sleep with so that they fulfilled their desires with somebody else and wouldn't end up trying to seduce the Yisraelim. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, so Rabbi Yossi Omer, now back to the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi's opinion was, Mishayalu akemet tachad, k'shedei sheyeh noten yado ala oketz v'hu shokeh v'shohel lachzor. So my oketz, what is this? Amar Shmuel, oktzo shel adad, right? It's the tip of the breast. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to have another braita, which is going to have more descriptions. Elu heim simanei b'grut. We have a bunch of descriptions in our Mishnah, not only here, but also in the Tosefta. This is a quote from the Tosefta. Tosefta has a bunch of different ones also. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok omer mishiyish kashu hadadim, when they're large enough that they start shaking around when you walk. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko omer mishiyachsif rosh hachotem, when the head of it becomes I think the chotem is the area around the nipple, the areolia, when it starts to get darker. So the Gemara says, Mashiach Sif is kunela. That already means a sign of age, not of maturity, but way past there, when she gets old. Elam, Rav Ashi, Mashiach Tzil Rosh HaChotem, when it splits the tip of it, meaning when there's an area where, like a hole where the milk can come out. That's at least one interpretation that I saw, which makes sense then, right? She's Ru'uya now to have a child. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishetakif Ha'atara, okay, when the area around that's the areolia, when it kind of gets, Areola, what did I say?
Put an extra vowel.
Oh, okay, areola.
A lot of them.
Sorry, areola, and then when it starts to grow, basically, and be distinguished. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishet Nitma Echa Kaf. He all of a sudden moves to a siman in the vaginal area. In this area called the kaf, which is a spoon, literally, but we'll talk about this in a minute, what exactly this cup is, starts to soften. There's an area down in the vaginal area they assume softened at a certain age. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha simanim natnu chachamim b'isha milamata, uchenegda milamala. Okay, here we talk about the interplay between lamata and lamala. There's three simanim milamata, where there's a corresponding siman milamala, which is interesting because we know nowadays, right, these things don't necessarily go hand in hand, and one doesn't necessarily mean the other. Pagami lamala biyadua shelo evia shtei sarot. Okay, so if you see, again, this is why I said, maybe they look for external signs above to then give them an indicator about the below. So if you see she still has no development up above, then you know that she doesn't have shtei sarot lamata. Bochel milamala, if she's in this interim stage, biyadua shevia shtei sarot. You know she already has shtei sarot lamata because that's where Na'arut is, where there's already shtei sarot. Semel milamala, if she has all the simanim, if she's milayah already lamala, biyadua shenitma echa kaf. Then you know that down below this area has already begun to soften, and that's your indicator that she's a bogeret. My kaf, what is this area? Amarafuna makom tafuach yesh lamala meoto makom. Okay, there's a tafuach like a swollen area. Swollen area that's above the oto makom. I don't know exactly what they mean here in terms of above. Kevan shemagdelet mitma'ech v'holech. Okay, as she gets older, it gets much softer. Shalu et Rebbe, halacha kedivrei. They asked Rebbe now, who's the halacha like? Shalach lehu kedivrei kulan lahachmir. We follow all these opinions lahachmir, meaning as soon as you see any one of these simanim, we're going to consider her gdola. By the way, in terms of the breast, I didn't point this out, but some of them are simanim you would notice from the outside, and some of them are not simanim you would notice from the outside, which is also interesting, right? The darkening, things like that. Okay. Now, there's something interesting, which seems totally unrelated, although to me, when I read this, it seemed to me somehow connected. I'll tell you that at the end, how I saw it connected. So, Rav Papa v'Rav Chinina b'Reid Rav Ika chab matne'aha. So now, between Rav Papa and Rav Chinina b'Reid Rav Ika, one of them had the version that we have, which is that when they asked Rebbe, who do we hold like? He said, we hold like all of them, l'hachmir, was said about this issue. But one of them said, we don't know which one, b'chad matne achatzer tzurit. One of them said that when Rebbe was asked who's the halacha like, and Rebbe said, like all of them, but lahachmir, was said about a totally different subject. Ditnan. Here's a Mishnah. Okay, it's a Mishnah in Masrot. Okay, it connects with what we were talking about before with the Masrot. Ezehu, now, Masrot, in order to be chayv in Masir, the fruits have to come, they have to see ro'e p'nei habayit. They have to come into your house. Now, the question is your courtyard considered your house? So if you have a chasar tzurit, tzurit comes from Tzur, the city that's now in Lebanon, which is Tyre in English, if you have a chasar that's like a chasar tzurit, then you're chayev b'maaser. So ezi chasar tzurit shechayev b'maaser, what is this kind of chasar tzurit? What defines something as a chasar tzurit? It's not just that it happens to be in Tzur, which is clearly not the case. Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't have to be the case. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chatzar is Tzurit Shakelim Nishmerim B'Tocha. It's a Chatzar where everything is protected inside. My Chatzar is Tzurit. So what does this mean? Okay, so we stop the Mishnah in the middle. This was Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's where the Kelim are protected inside. What's a chatzar tzurit? Amar Rabbi Chana. So now an Amora comes and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the shem Rabbi Yochanan, she came b'tzur moshivin shomer al petach chatzar. In Tzur, it was practiced, it was customary, that people would have shomrim in front of their chatzerim. They would have guards. So if it's guarded, then it's already considered your house. But an unguarded courtyard, right? Remember, the courtyards were outside their house. They were more kind of in between public and private. So if you had a shomer, well, then it's already private, and then you're chayv in maaser. Rabbi Akiva Omer, okay, we're going to have an interesting structure in this Mishnah. Instead of this one saying, you're chayav if it's this, you're chayav if it's that, you're chayav if it's that, we're going to have someone saying, you're chayav, and then someone saying, but if it's like this, you're patur, and then someone saying, you're chayav like this, and then someone saying, if it's like this, though, you'd be exempt. So Rabbi Akiva, so remember, we kind of breaked in the Mishnah. So we started with, Rabbi Shimon says, it's the kelim nishmerim b'tocha, which we then explained, they have a shomer sitting there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kol she'echad potech ve'echad no'el p'tura. But if different people have keys to the same courtyard, like let's say it's, which makes sense in those days, there were a few houses that led to a common courtyard. If it's shared by a bunch of families and they all have a key to get in, well then you're not chayv maaser because that's not your own private. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, kol she'en adam bosh le'echol b'tocha chayevet. If you're not embarrassed to go eat in that courtyard, which means you people, I guess, didn't want to eat in public, and if it's enough of a private space that you feel comfortable eating there, then you're chayevet.
So you still feel some ownership of the area?
Right. Yeah, this is all ownership, and ownership, exclusive ownership, so to speak. Here it's interesting, right? You wouldn't think people would be embarrassed to eat. Maybe when you hear my view on this, maybe you'll view it a little differently. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol she'nichnesim la ve'ein omrim la lo ma'ata mevakesh. If some stranger walks in and you don't say to him, what are you doing here? Right? In other words, if a stranger walked into your house, you'd say, what on earth are you doing here? If a stranger walks into your property, you probably say the same thing. So if it's your outside property and you would say, what on earth are you doing here? That means you consider it your own private property. If you don't really say anything, because it doesn't really bother you that he's walking there, well then, you know, you wouldn't, then it shows it's not really your own private property. So then you'd be p'turah from maaser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shtei chatzerot zol lefnim izo, if you have one chatzer and then another inner one, the pnimit chayevet achitzona p'turah, and this reminds us in Sugas and Bava Batra, the inner one is chayav, because, and the outer one is not, because the outer one is the, because the inner one goes through the outer one to get out, which means it's not only exclusively his. And then, on this whole sugya, here's the second version, shalu et Rebbe, halacha kedivrei mi, they asked Rebbe, who's the halacha like, amar lehu, halacha kedivrei kulam machmir, we're machmir all the way, that any of these things, we're basically, other than the ones that are exempt, right? But any of the ones that said chayav, we're going to say, you have to do maaserot. Now, to me, the image in my head, maybe because we're talking about women and men and women's bodies, and to me it sounded like, you know, being embarrassed in your, you know, would you eat in the courtyard? Almost eating and sexual relations often go together. And to me, it seems like, is it a place, right? Is it, are the kelim nishmerim b'tocha, is your wife, in other words, more like talking about your wife in terms of being accessible. Are there, if a person came in, you know, would you say, what are you doing with my wife, talking to her? You know, it almost sounds like there's a little bit of a connection here in terms of a sexual nature, but I could be just reading into it all because that's where my head is with everything that we're learning. But to me, it seems like there is a little bit of a connection of these sugyot in terms of, you know, your house and your privacy and what you would do with your wife in that space, etc. Okay, and maybe it's an analogy to also, you know, your house is a place. I was thinking of, you know, when in Avimelech sees Yitzchak mitzachek imishto, you know, and this idea of the privacy of your house and what you would do in the privacy of your house and what people would see and people would walk in, and, you know, to me that came to my mind. Okay, new Mishnah. Bat Eslim Shana. We're continuing on, last Mishnah in the Perek. When we get to now the upper age, age 20, although we'll see this isn't necessarily the upper age. Well, in the Gemara, we'll get into another possible age. Bat esrim shana shelo hiviya shtei se'arot. Tavi ra'aya shehi bat esrim shana v'hi ailonit lo choletzet v'lo mityabemet. Okay, how to read this v'hi ailonit is going to go in two ways, but I'll read it now the way the Gemara is going to first assume it means. So she's 20. She doesn't have any pubic hairs. She has to prove that she's 20 and that she's an ailonit, that she has other simanim, that she's sterile. And then she wouldn't be chayav chalitza and wouldn't be chayav yibum because a woman who can't have children is not going to be chayav either in chalitza or in yibum, that she can just marry anybody, assuming she was married to someone and they didn't have children. Since she can't have children anyway, there's no lahakim shem amet, so she's p'tura legama. Ben 20 shana shelo hevi shtei sa'arot, yaviu ra'aya shu ben 20, the same for a man. If he's 20 and doesn't have two sa'arot, he has to bring proof that he's 20, v'hu saris, and that he's a saris, that he can't have children, lo cholet v'lo miyaben. Okay, and then he doesn't do chalitza and he doesn't do yibum. Okay, I think it's in Yavama where they discuss what are simanim of strisut and ailanit. There's different siman body, other bodily signs that indicate that this person is unable to have children. It's more external signs, not exactly like medical exams that we do nowadays to check fertility. Elu duvrei Beit Hillel. So this is Beit Hillel, that it's 20, and it sounds like simanim, also other simanim, that you're an ailonit or a saris. Beit Shammai omrim, ze v'ze ben 18. Okay, both of these, that's both the male and the man and the woman, the age is 18 and not 20. It's interesting, by the way, earlier there were different ages for them. This age is all the same for both. It's just a matter, is it 18 or is it 20? But here, male and female is the same. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hazachar kedivrei Beit Hillel, v'hanekeva kedivrei Beit Shammai. So now I said it's all equal, but here comes the Rabbi Eliezer, who says, well, the male we hold 20, and the female we hold 18, right? Which coincides with everything earlier that the female is earlier. Okay, because she matures before the man, and therefore if she's 18 already without simanim, we're going to assume. Now they say Urimini. Okay, this contradicts another source, a source in Yavama. It says there, Echad li ben tesha shanim v'yom echad, ve'echad li ben esrim shelo evi shtei sarot. So we say, you're going to be considered, in other words, a 9-year-old and in one day without simanim, and a 20-year-old without simanim are basically the same. They're both considered a katan. Now notice here, he's a katan, but not a saris. He's in the category of a katan. A marav, right, you wouldn't call a 9-year-old a saris, you just call him a katan. So they're saying a 20-year-old who hasn't brought shtei sarot is also considered a katan. A marav Shmuel barav Yitzchak amarav, v'hu shenoldu bo simanei saris. So now they say, difference between this and our Mishnah is not only 20 without two sarot, it's that he has simanei saris, the way I said. And amarava dakanami dekatani, you can even infer that because it says vihu saris. Right, sounds like, and you have to be a saris also. You have to have simanim of srisut. Shma mina. So now they say, v'chi lo noldu lo simanei saris ad kama. So now, what does that mean then? If you don't have simanim of a saris, then where does that leave you? Right? In other words, if you don't have simanim, so 20, you're a katam, when do you become? So then, if you're a katam, what would happen? You'd have to wait till you become a gadol. This, by the way, would be a nightmare for the woman. If he's the only brother, she'd have to wait till he got older in order to do yibum or chalitza. Okay, he can't even do it until he gets of age. That would be a big halachic nightmare for her. Tanya Rabbi Chiya, ad rov shnotav, the majority of his years, okay, which you might be disappointed to find out that the majority of years in those days was considered 35 in a day, or some people write 35 in a year, and some people 35 in a month, or 36, okay, into the, right, because the Yemesh Notenu Bahem Shivim Shana. Okay, based on that, people lived 70 years. Ki Atal Kameh de Rabbi Chiya, when the people would come before Rabbi Chiya, they wanted to know, like they wanted, some people say it's Kameh de Rava, and they were Srisim or Ailoniot, or they didn't have pubic hairs yet. I Kachish, if they were thin, Amar Le Ivruye, go gain some weight. I Bari, Amar Lehu Ekhushe. So if you're too fat, too overweight, he would say, lose weight. Because sometimes you're too thin, you need to gain weight, and sometimes you're too heavy, and you need to lose weight. He says, in all these halachot that we're discussing, the time is counted 24 hours. Here we're talking about on a year to year. Okay, made late here means from whenever he was born until the full year, to get to the end of that year. V'ula amar ditnan tnan udelotnan lotnan. If you remember in the earlier Mishnayot, it said 12 in a day, 9 in a day, 3 in a day. Here it says 20 years old. So if it meant you had to be 20 in a day, it would have said 20 in a day. So he says, where it says 20 in a day, it means 20 in a day. Or really, it doesn't say it by here. When it says 3 in a day or 9 in a day or all that. But in this case, where it doesn't say anything, it means into the 20th year, which really means 19 in a day or maybe 19 in a month. So now they say, Bishlama le'ula, hainu dekatane hacha yom echad, v'hacha lo katane. So Ula makes perfect sense, because some of the Mishnayot say en yom echad, and some of them don't, and that makes perfect sense. Ela l'rav, litne ve'od. Litne. Ela l'rav, it should have said ve'yom echad, if that's what he meant. Ve'od, and furthermore, according to Rav, Tani Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar omer, mishum Rabbi Eliezer, here's a source that Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, a Tanaitic source. Shnat esrim, sheyatzu mimenu shloshim yom, hareyu kishnat esrim l'chol tvareha. Okay, the 20th year that already 30 days passed in, which means 19 years plus 30 days, is like the 20th year for everything. V'chein hore Rebbe Belod, shnat shmona esrei sheyatzu mimenu shloshim yom, hareyu kishnat shmona esrei l'chol tvareha. So now, here we have two different versions of, was it the 20 years or the 18 years? Both of them, notice they say into the year, right? And they don't say, like Rav tried to say, that it's the entire year has to go out. Now, what on earth would they be talking about 20 and 18? It's obviously our topic. Bishlama de Rebbe, Uda Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar, lo kasha. Hake beit shamai, hake beit hilel. Right? It fits in perfectly. They're obviously talking about the 18 and 20 mentioned in our Mishnah, which means that the 18 and 20 mentioned in our Mishnah is into the 18th year, into the 20th year, not the whole year, which is a kasha, ela l'rav kasha. So how do we answer the question on Rav? Because it really doesn't match the source. We say, Tanahi, oh, he holds by a different Tanaitic source. It's a machloket. Here comes the source, Ditanya. Shana ha'amura b'kodashim, shana ha'amura b'batei arechoma, we've seen this source before. Okay, but a year for Kodashim. What's Kodashim? Keves ben Shnato, right? He has to be a year old to be brought as a korban, right? There's all different years for which animals, which korban, how old they have to be. So the year is for the Keves ben Shnato. The Shana for Batei Rechoma, this is when you live in a walled city, right? Within the first year, you can buy back your property, and after that, you can't. Shtei shanim shebesteachuza. In a steachuza, you have 2 years to redeem. Right, I have to remember if I'm saying all these halachot right. Amochera steachuza lechavero. I know mutar legalo bepachob. Oh, right. No, it's the opposite. I knew there was a difference. In a steachuza, you can't buy it back for the first 2 years. Right, the first 2 years you have to let kishnat bemispar shnei tvuot yimacher lecha. You have to give him 2 seasons of tvuah. Okay, so those 2 years, the sheshanim of the Eved Ivri, right? He works for 6 years, and shebeben v'shebebat, which we're going to assume means our case, kulan me'eit leit. Okay, they're all counted not from the beginning of the calendar year, like let's say Shemitah is counted right beginning of the calendar year. There's certain things that go about the calendar. These are counted from when the animal was born, from when you sold the property, from when the child was born. Hamura b'kodashim minalan. How do we know? So now, right, what are we going to see here? That it's made late, which proves that it's made late means the full year. And that's going to prove Rav. Okay? So now they're just going to go into where we get the source for all these things. B'kodashim minalan. Amurav acha bar Yaakov amar kha keves ben shnato. Notice it says shnato, his year. Shnato shalo velo shana shal minyan olam. Shana hamura b'batea. Remember, we talked about it with we learned this source the first time, which is, you know, they clearly had to keep track of their animals when they were born. Some people even say, by the way, there's a machloket, do we mean not only that it doesn't go by the calendar year, it goes by the birth. Some people say it goes, which we learned when we talked about these animals, by the hour they were born. May late means even right by the hour. Some people say that, not everybody. Shana hamura b'batei rechoma minalan amar kha ad tom shnat mimkaro, until the end of his year that he sold. So then, mim kero shelo v'lo shana shnat shel minyan olam. Shtei shanim shebesteachuza minalan, amakha b'mispar shnei tvuot yimacher lecha. Pamim, now what does it say, shnei tvuot yimacher lecha? Pamim shatam ocher shlosha tvuot. They darshan this, shnei is already 2, and tvuot is also plural. So they say it's really referencing 3. When can you possibly have 3? B'shtei shanim. That is, you could have 3 seasons into, you could have 3 seasons, tfuot, in 2 years. Okay, and that's only if you go by the date that you sold it, because theoretically it could be the end of 1 season, and then you'd end up with 3 seasons within those 2 years. We'll just go on the last one. Sheish shana shebe'evet ivri minalan, amakha, sheish shanim yavod uvashvi'it. Now, what does it say? It's a little bit of a misread. It says, "Ubashvi'it yetzei lechofshi." But what are they darshan? Ya'avod is next to bashvi'it. It must be there's a way that you work also in the seventh year. Ubashvi'it nami ya'avod. How would that be? Well, the seventh on the calendar, which is really only his sixth year from being sold. Okay? Shaben v'babach, we're going to get to tomorrow.